Well, good morning. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. We are glad you're here. Thank you for those of us who braved the cold to be here. And if you are home in your jammies and a bathrobe drinking coffee, the rest of us here are a little jealous, but it's all good. We'll forgive you. A couple of announcements. We are going to be suspending the passing the peace for hopefully just a couple of weeks. As many of us know, lots of respiratory illness is going around. Hospital admissions are really high for all sorts of things, including influenza and other things like that. So we're just going to be mindful of each other's safety. Anybody at any time is welcome to wear a mask, use hand sanitizer, and if you're sick, we ask you to stay home. We love you, but we don't want your germs, so we'll just, you know, keep everybody as safe as we can, and hopefully we'll be able to move forward as usual in relatively short order. The other announcement that I have is I'll be out of the office tomorrow. I've got a couple of appointments. I will be at the council meeting tomorrow night, and John O'Donovan, our new moderator, said, "Damn right you will be. You've got other. You've got some thing. You've got some issues you wanted to raise up." So, I just swore in church. That's not a very good thing. Oh, turn that filter on, Pastor. Oh boy. That's a first. Becky, why don't you take it?
I will try to save you. Good morning. Naomi Enders from the Decholla Center, formerly known as the Pilgrim Center, will be here next Sunday as a camp day. She's going to play some games with the kids in the back. She's got a one-minute video to promote the camp. She's excited to share all the things they have. There's a lot of stuff for the kids, and then there's the End Me camps where you can take your niece, nephew, goddaughter, godson, anyone. There's all kinds of opportunities and neat things. She's not a high-pressure salesman. She'll just be here to answer questions and show you what weeks are what. A lot of them are three evening camps, like a Monday to a Thursday. And the accommodations have really improved. The cabins that you stay in are really comfortable, very nice. It's not like the old camping days. It's really quite nice, and I have to say the food is really good too. Yeah. There's lots of variety, so even if you have picky eaters, the whole salad bar is there with all kinds of stuff. So it is a really neat thing to experience, and if you would please come next week. I want a whole bunch of kids here so that she can play some games in the back with them and just kind of promote the camp. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Becky. And just one little note on the accommodations as well, just to add on what Becky just said. If you are, if it's adults staying, kids are still in cabins if it's just kids for a week, but even the cabins are air-conditioned now than what they used to be. For like And Me camps, like what Becky was talking about, think of like a basic hotel with bunk beds and running water and all that. Um, so um, So it's sort of like somewhere in the middle between a dorm room and a basic hotel. So that's kind of what you're looking at. And let's see, Alana has a couple announcements.
I have a new inbox right outside my office door. It's right by the fire extinguisher. It's locked, so feel free to drop anything off there if you don't want to bug me while I'm working, or if the office is locked up, feel free to just drop anything off there, and if the building is open. And then there's also a new U.S. Postal mailbox outside. It's right across from the black drop box. That's only for the U.S. Postal Service to use, but feel free to keep using the locked drop box to drop anything off if the building is closed. Other than that, that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Any other announcements for the good of the order? All right, then Bob, if you will. Thank you.
Our current worship series is all about finding profound meaning and spiritual depth in the seemingly ordinary activities and experience that make up our everyday lives. Life can be a serious business. Certainly watching the daily news can give the impression that there is little good to find in the world. This week, we chose to lighten up, to spin life in a little different way as we look for the delight and especially humor in life. A lot of people cite the ability to make us laugh as a number one thing they look for in friends and spouses. Many comedians have the knack for seeing everyday life in ways that make us laugh. Some even say that laughter is the best medicine. Today we'll experience words from the prophet Isaiah, which show us how to be joyful in spite of the lack of joy around us. And if you're able, please stand for the call to worship. Those who walk in darkness have seen a great light. You are our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? Teach us your ways, O God, and lead us in a path of love and wisdom. And let's join together in the opening prayer. God of delight, we give you thanks for good humor and joy. Open our hearts to the light of possibilities, even when the day ahead holds difficulties. Be with us, near us, and beside us. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 502, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
You may be seated.
All right. Do I have any kids coming up with me? Coming up, Blake? Ashlyn? I think Jasper's coming. Got a couple here today. Come on up. Let's sit across right next to each other on the top step. I'm going to have you do something today. All right. Jasper, you sit right next to them across the top. All right.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning. How are you guys? Good.
Good.
Good. Well, today's theme is on God's team, players stick together. So today, Pastor Jacob, you might have to move closer to Blake. So today we have to point up for on God's team. Can you say that?
On God's team,
players stick together. And then we lock elbows. So you put your elbow out like this. Can you lock elbows?
Yeah, players stick together. All right, nice.
Can you lock your sister's elbow? There you go. Players stick
together. Fine, okay.
All right, so let's try that again. Let's unlock. Okay.
On God's team, players stick together.
Nice. Woo-hoo. Good job. Good job. So I have to ask you, what is the stickiest thing you've ever dealt with? Sticky things. What are sticky things? Can you think of any?
When someone calls something a sticky situation, what do they mean?
Yeah, sticky. So I'm thinking, have you ever got a sucker stuck in your hair? Anybody out there? I'm sure.
That's like a doubly sticky situation.
How about gum stuck in your hair or something? You ever get gum stuck in your hair?
Nobody.
The boys are like, meh.
These kids are not messy at all. They have no sticky situations. How about burdocks? Come on, Blake.
Oh, okay, I got a knot. Yep.
You get the burdocks stuck to your socks?
Yep. You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, found one. How about sap from the trees?
Yep. Yeah.
How hard is it to get sap off your hands?
Very hard.
Pretty hard, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's how God wants us to be with our family and friends. He wants us to stick together so well that we never leave each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one more time, I'm going to point up on...
On God's team, players stick together.
Good job. Pastor Jacob, Could you lead us in prayer, please?
Absolutely. I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me.
Dear God,
thank you
for reminding us
of friendship and care for one another.
Help us
share your love
wherever we go and stick together.
Amen.
Is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied exaltation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. My friends, will you pray with me? God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So as you know, we're in the midst of a sermon series on what we call spiritual affective disorder, thinking about the ways that we can find spiritual and emotional resilience in difficult times. There are all sorts of ways that we've named that, sort of in an abstract way. But what if it actually happens to you specifically? Now, most of you know that a couple of Novembers ago, my mom's cancer came back after we thought she was cured for like 6.5 years, and it was a gut punch, right? It was a very difficult time, and through the right medical treatments and catching it early, she has gone back into remission, of course, but the trauma of dealing with that again didn't quite leave for a pretty solid chunk of time. If you've never dealt with it in your own family or yourself or whatever, there's a whiplash that happens that you kind of have to pull yourself back out of. So that kind of feeling was sort of happening to us for several months. And then my sister Emily had an opportunity to get a puppy. So this is Poppy. She is an Australian Cobber dog, which is the Australian equivalent of a Labrador, Labradoodle, they're trying to get this breed more active and registered more often in the United States. So hopefully we'll see more of them. You know, Poppy is just super adorable and really fun. She has totally changed the energy in my family's house. My dad, who swore that he would never have a dog live in his house, has become an old softy. And my mom loves having a companion with her in the afternoons when she's at home. And I think when Emily moves out, she'll be sad that her grand dog isn't with her. Emily, of course, has wanted a dog for a really long time, and you know, now she has a companion and all of that. She, of course, lived through what was going on with Mom and saw it firsthand, and so I think all three of them have a real affinity for Poppy, and my fiance and I have seen the energy change in that household ever since Poppy came around. And I'll tell you one thing. Rafi, my fiance's 15-year-old miniature schnauzer, isn't so sure about Poppy. But the golden retriever that Rafi and I are going to get in a few months will surely love a playmate. So that's all good. So the reason I bring up that story is that as cute and amazing as Poppy is, she did not erase the problems and the grief of that time that my family faced, right? But she made it easier to live through that time. And I also bring it up because sometimes it feels weird to laugh in the midst of some of the really difficult things going on in the world when we watch the news and when we see the things coming out of Minnesota and other places. It feels sometimes like we're not honoring the gravity of the situation when life is hard. But, you know, God reminds us that these things don't have to be mutually exclusive. And as God often does, God reframes our ways of thinking. And I think that's kind of what's going on in the Isaiah text for today. This has become a popular text for good reason. There are lots of people who are afraid of darkness. How many of you, when you were kids, thought there were monsters under your bed at night? Yeah, not as many as I thought, but okay. Or you know, we want enough light to see when we're trying to find our way home in an unfamiliar place. If you're driving or something, for instance, that might be more your speed. I don't know, but it's important to remember that there's a lot that this symbolizes for people in biblical times. The commentator Juliana Klassens reminds us that for the people of Israel, light breaking into darkness wasn't just a one-time event. It was a pattern that they lived through again and again. The words of Isaiah speak into more than one moment in time. The people of Israel often knew fear and loss and uncertainty firsthand, and the Isaiah's use of the word anguish is not a melodramatic thing. This often came because of the Assyrian Empire, the brutal force known for violence and cruelty. Assyria would eventually destroy the northern kingdom of Israel and spread terror throughout the region, even reaching the gates of Jerusalem. But Isaiah dares to say that this darkness would not have the final word. A new time was coming, a time when God's light would break through and change everything. It takes courage to follow God in the midst of this kind of uncertainty, doesn't it? With everything we hear about things going on in the world and even the pain of our own experiences, I'm sure a lot of us can resonate with what Isaiah says when he talks about the yoke of our burden, right? The weight of the emotional and spiritual and physical anguish when we face difficult times. But as God so often does, God reminds us that circumstances can turn around. When we trust in God, God loosens the grip of the forces that oppress us and reminds us that joy is still possible. If we've experienced pain, whether physical or emotional, God reminds us that God can use moments of joy, even moments of laughter, to help us understand what the world can look like when God is active in our lives. Now, you might be asking, when you think about this Isaiah passage, what does laughter have to do with it? Well, Marcia McPhee, who wrote our sermon series, points out that one of the best ways that we can experience joy is through laughter. And many studies have shown that laughter has great power to diffuse conflict and promote stress relief. Now, this isn't about minimizing pain or forcing happiness. It's about finding room to breathe when life feels especially hard. And even as celebrations of life, for example, are emotionally difficult, when it's my turn to give remarks at a celebration of life service, I always try to find something to make people laugh a little bit. One moment I'm going to share was for the celebration of life of Roy Williams, Shirley's husband. It was one of the first funerals I had done in this church. I think it was probably the third or fourth. I've done a lot. We knew that Roy was dying a couple of weeks beforehand, and I got to ask Roy a question that I don't always get to ask people because they die really suddenly. I said, "Roy, when you think about your celebration of life, what would you want people to keep in mind about the service?" And he and without missing a beat, that Roy, he goes, "Short and sweet, no BS." And as soon as I said that in the context of the service, laughter roared throughout the sanctuary because everybody understood what that meant. Everybody who knew Roy really well knew that he was a man of few words and he just didn't want that much fluff. He just wanted more things. And he just wanted that kind of to be kept in mind. And so I remember that with gratitude and with love, and I will never forget the way that Roy and his entire family treated me in that time, and I'm always honored to celebrate somebody's life well. So that's one example of ways to find laughter in a situation. And even one of the world's greatest speakers, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose birthday we celebrate tomorrow, used humor in his public and private personas to cope with difficulties when going through the civil rights movement. John Lewis, a very famous representative, and a good friend of Dr. King, talked about a time when he and Dr. King and others were in a car in Mississippi and came upon a restaurant. Dr. King joked that they should stop, get something to eat, and then get arrested so that they could at least go to jail on a full stomach. And he was even coined as the comedian of the civil rights movement and known by his friends for starting pillow fights in private moments. So even though he had a fairly serious public persona to maintain, there were instances that he could be very funny. Because he knew what all of us have come to know at some point in our lives. even as life continues to be difficult, laughter can give us some resources to deal with the hard stuff as well. Sometimes it's through a dog and the ridiculous rubber pig that she likes to play with. Sometimes it's through friends and family. Sometimes it's through people who help us do the work of love and justice. Because my friends, even though the world is hard in a multitude of ways, and there are lots of things that aren't as they should be, we don't have to resign ourselves to the gloom. Isaiah tells us that through God, exultation and joy can be ours because of the ways God liberates us. So as you go into this week, knowing the trials of the world, may you give yourself permission to laugh, not to dismiss the world's difficulties, but to help you find the strength to do the work you do so well. You are people who know how to do the work of love and justice, and thank goodness you're also people who know how to laugh, and even laugh at your pastor every so often. And may you know that all of this is holy. The laughter and the love and the laboring for a better world. All of it is holy. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is number 551, As a Fire is Meant for Burning. Oh! 551 is the correct number. Sorry. Amen. You may be seated. So now we come into a time of more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Let's take a few moments of silence as we think of those folks. Amen. So I do have one update, prayer request, to let you all know about, and then I will solicit yours. So the update that I have for you is I received word the other day that Harriet Laird has entered hospice care. She's still at Prairie Ridge, still with Jim, and she would enjoy visits, but I will tell you that her breathing makes it extraordinarily difficult for her to speak. So I think a reasonable expectation would be that that you and Jim would be doing most of the talking, and that Harriet would be listening intently, but you know, with some effort. If you'd like to see Harriet, please get in contact with them and let them know that you'll be coming to visit. So for Harriet, as she enters this new phase of life, God in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring this morning? Nothing here. Anything on Zoom? Okay. Then let us be in a time of prayer together. Gracious God, we give thanks that you give us the resources to lean on your love when life is hard. Through laughter, through finding moments of joy, even small ones. We pray that Harriet and all those who love her may find that as well. Good memories and sharing experiences as she prepares to transition between life and life. We give thanks for the ways that laughter has helped this church move through various forms of conflict. The ways that we continue to work together to share your love. To work for the justice that is needed. So may you empower us, O God, to do just that, to work for the kind of justice that people need, those who are facing homelessness, poverty, food insecurity, discrimination in all of its forms. Those who are dealing with political unrest at the moment. And all of those in need of an extra portion of your love. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. If you have a gift to give to us today, you can do so by putting something in the offering plate as the ushers come around, or you may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But be mindful that however you give your gift, you are benefiting not only the ministries of this local church, but also the church universal. In the prayer of dedication. Gracious God, we give you our lives symbolized in our gifts. Receive them with love, bless them with grace, and use them according to your will. Jesus goes before us and beckons us to follow. By your Spirit, help us follow. Help us live lives of love and courage. For the sake of the healing of the world, in the name of Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 319, Shine, Jesus, Shine. friends, receive these words of benediction. Now go into the world feeling the wrap of love around your shoulders, the embrace of well-being encompassing your heart, the confidence that only requires one foot in front of the other, and the assurance that you are not alone. The world needs you and will patiently wait for your light to shine, illuminating just one small corner, speaking even a little bit of hope. We're in it together. Along with the one who created us, the one who redeems us, and the one who sustains us. So be it. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.